Hi, and welcome to today's episode of The Property Pod. My name's Louie, and today I'm joined by Hannah and Stuart from our Suffolk conveyancing team. Welcome to the podcast, guys. Thanks for coming on. And today we're going to speak about all you need to know about conveyancing and some of the frequently asked questions that everyone would have. So tell me a bit about your roles at Atwells.
So I head up the Suffolk conveyancing department. So that's based on our Ipswich office. There is 13 of us, obviously Hannah being one of them, and I sort of just have overarching responsibility, control, and try and make sure everything's going in the right direction.
Yeah,
oh, cool. Yeah, so I'm a licensed conveyancer in the Suffolk conveyancing team. So I sort of have day-to-day files for sales, purchases, remortgages for general public and their house moves. And soon we're going to be getting some apprentices come into the mix, and I'm going to sort of look after them and their day-to-day training and teaching them about everything that we do.
Great. And what exactly is conveyancing?
So conveyancing, I suppose in short, it's the process by which you transfer the house or the asset that you own. So you want to sell your house, you come to us, and the conveyancing process is sort of the contracts that are involved, how you get paid for your property, and all of the legal aspects of transferring the home you own.
Yeah, I think when someone's buying a house, you know, what we're actually doing is you buy the bricks, you know, the bricks and mortar, but actually you're buying a parcel of land and, you know, rights of access and covenants, which are like rules you have to comply with. Every bit of land is subject to different rules and covenants and regulations and different rights. We just review that title to ensure that everything is above board before you buy it. You know, the client sees, you know, the bricks and everything else, but we're looking at sort of, you know, what sits behind that really and making sure it's all where it needs to be.
And can people undertake conveyancing themselves, or is it not really possible?
So it's a funny question. So technically, yes, probably, but there are so many sort of regulations, red tape, caveats that would make it very hard to do so. So if someone approached me and said, you know, they're selling their property, they want to do it themselves, my initial questions are, you know, am I comfortable to be transferring, you know, 200, 500, £1 million to this person? I have no recourse on them not doing what they should be doing. And obviously if someone was, you know, buying for themselves, obviously we've spent years sort of, you know, learning our craft, I suppose, and it's the biggest asset anyone ever buys. So you'd want to ensure that you know, what you're buying is what you're buying, you know, doing it yourself sort of could potentially leave you open to risk.
And how do you find an instructor conveyancer? Is that something that your estate agent arranges? What's the best way to do it?
Yeah, so there's a few different ways that you can do it. So if you're selling or purchasing a house through an estate agent, they will probably have a few conveyancers that they recommend, either because they have a particular agreement with those solicitors firms that they will send work their way, but they don't have to use that conveyancer particularly, or they can just sort of do a search and look at reviews of different solicitors. You contact them, you explain what you're trying to do, you know, buy or sell a house or remortgage, and they'll ask you for sort of some key details like the address and how much you're buying or selling for, and they can then give you a quote, which if you're happy with, you can choose them to be your acting conveyancer.
And how long does it take to buy a home and move in?
So it's the $1 million question. It is probably the question I get asked the most, or, you know, when's it going to happen? Oh, as an average guide, I would say I'd say 10 to 12 weeks. So obviously you have freehold properties, which are, you know, tend to be houses. You have leasehold properties, which tend to be flats. A leasehold transaction will be longer because you've got management companies and landlords involved. The lease document is far more complicated than the title relating to a freehold transaction. If you're buying with cash rather than a mortgage, obviously you can take a view on stuff or proceed quicker because we don't have to get consent from the bank to proceed. So you know, I've done transactions personally in, you know, 2 weeks, under 2 weeks, where it's just seller, buyer and cash. And, you know, everyone wants to get it done quickly. But on the same token, there are transactions that will take months and months and months. But bog standard average guide, I would say from instructing the solicitor to moving day, 10 to 12 weeks is a good guide.
Mm. And is there anything that you can do to make the process quicker or anything?
Yeah, I think that's what I was going to sort of follow on from Stuart's point. There's just so much that can affect it that all you can do is really try and prepare yourself as best you can. So if you're buying a house, for example, you can go and get a mortgage in principle. So you know that you could potentially borrow as much as you need for the mortgage before you then go and look at houses. You can complete your forms as quickly as you can and sort of like ID that we would request. We try to request everything that we can at the start. So as quickly as clients can do that, really. And just all be singing from the same hymn sheet. So sometimes you'll get sort of people who have, you'll have a seller who doesn't want to move out until 2 months' time. And then you've got a buyer who needs to be in a month's time and they're not sort of on the same page. So I think communication. Communication
is
the main one.
Is key, yeah. I think the trouble is, and, you know, that's the value in having, you know, one, a good estate agent, and two, you know, a good solicitor that has a good relationship with the estate agent, because it just provides more control in the transaction. And the trouble is, you have, it doesn't matter if, you know, Hannah's got a transaction ready in 4 weeks. If someone else in the transaction's taken 16 weeks because of various issues on their transaction, Hannah can't go anywhere. You know, person at the bottom has to move to allow the person above them to move, and so on and so forth. So that's why it's such a grey area. And I think all I would say is, when you're, you know, going with your 10 to 12 week guideline, and then I would say, you know, every few weeks as the transaction progresses, and us guys piece together sort of the overall position of the chain of transactions and what's happening, you know, keep, you know, touching in with your solicitor and checking that time scale, because we'll be able to get a more and more accurate, you know, estimation as we go. You know, for example, if you have a mortgage, you have to have searches. In Ipswich, we can have a search back in a week. Around a week. There are some local authorities, and especially some boroughs in London at the moment, that are, you know, in excess of 3 months. So if you're waiting for 3 months for a search, you're never going to get moved in 10 to 12 weeks. You're probably looking, you know, 4, 5, 6 months. And obviously, every chain of transactions has various properties throughout the country in different locations. So this is why it becomes so hard to give a, it will be this day, until you're further down the chain, you know, further through the transaction, really. But yeah, communication, and I think, you know, as long as you do what your conveyancer asks and you respond in a timely fashion and, you know, try and assist where you can, everything else will come together.
And what are the stages of conveyancing?
So we'll split it into two sides, really: sale and purchase. Seller solicitor issues a contract to the buyer solicitor. That will involve, you know, the contract, which sets out the property details and the price, and you know, who's buying, who's selling, and various conditions around the sale, which I won't bore you with. Property information form fits the contents form completed by the seller, and a copy of the title to the property in a nutshell. Send that to the buyer solicitor. They then will tend to order their searches, which are look at sort of the past land use and past planning history of the property, and flood and various other, you know, various other things. So they'll review the title. If they've got any queries about anything there, and those, and the forms, you know, that I mentioned, if they've got any questions, they come back with those questions and approve the contract. Say, I'm happy with the terms of this deal, or I want this amended or that amended. So you then got a finalised copy of a contract, and I've got, as a selling solicitor, I've got a load of questions to answer. Some I answer myself, some I ask my client, who's the seller, to answer. Some I may need to go to a freehold management company, a local authority, or various places to get the answers. And what I'm doing is compiling a picture to the buyer solicitor of, you know, this is everything you need, and now you're happy that it's, you know, a good deal. In theory, that send the responses back. By this time, you're hoping that the buyer solicitor have got their searches back. Again, they review all this information, ask me any questions that they need to ask me. In the background, you've obviously got the finance of this deal, you know. So one, it's the title and transferring that, but obviously we need some money. So if there's cash, you know, potentially cash or mortgage are the two simplest ways to look at it. So by the time I've responded to these inquiries, the buyer solicitor has got their mortgage offer, which is the bank saying that the buyer can have X amount of money, blah, blah, blah. The buyer solicitor has to report on the terms of the mortgage to the buyer and arrange for the buyer to sign the mortgage deed. And in theory, they'll compile like an overarching report based on all the searches, the documents we've provided, the replies we've provided, and send the client, the buyer, the documents to sign. They then return them, and along with their mortgage documents, transferring their deposit. At this stage, we're talking about dates, and then we move to exchange, which is legal commitment. And on exchange, you set a completion date, and that's completion. Additional items on the buying solicitor side, obviously they're doing all the reviewing of these documents to make sure they're satisfied, answering all the questions, satisfying the bank. But one of the biggest parts of our job, an ever-growing part of our job, is you know, trying to prevent fraud. So looking at people, you know, the identity of the seller and the buyer, and you know, source of funds and money laundering. You know, if you ask about how can we speed a transaction up, you're going to get asked a million questions from us guys, unfortunately, regarding, you know, your bank statements. Where's your money come from? Oh, you're getting some money from your parents. Well, I need their ID. I need them to provide their bank statements. You know, we're not asking for the fun of it. You know, we're required to, you know, obtain this information on every transaction. So just be forthcoming with that. And yeah, you know, the trouble is, everyone's financial position is so different. So someone's just, you know, cash, got some bank statements, and they, you know, got a successful company, can provide a year-end account, you know, they've got loads of money, this all looks above board. But when you're talking about, you know, some of the money's inherited, some of the money's cash, some of the money's mortgage, it takes so much documentation to compile the picture to make sure we're satisfied. For our regulators, why does the transaction take longer? Because, you know, this one's nice and easy and simple, this one's more complicated.
I think that's it. Yeah. I think if you say to a client, if they say, well, what stages are there, the easiest way for us to say would be sort of, there's inquiries, there's questions, there's searches we do, and then there's a mortgage, potentially. Yeah. That's like the three things. But there's so many, sort of, there's so much interwoven stuff that we have to make sure that we've got, and one of those things, you know, if you don't have the bank statement to show where the funds have come from, one of those things, although it's not one of the key steps you would name, you have to have it to be able to proceed.
Yeah.
And then if there's six transactions, it's one of those things in any six of those transactions that then slows it down.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would be nice to sit there and, you know, just say, right, issue contracts, receive inquiries, answer inquiries, sign documents, exchange, complete.
Done, yeah.
If it was that simple, you know, our job would be a lot easier and a lot nicer. Yeah. But and the trouble is, you're always trying to work around that. So, you know, if you've got someone who has a company, you know, for them to obtain a mortgage is a bit more complicated than it is if they're just an employed person. Well, none of us will just sit there, be like, oh, we can't do anything until the mortgage turns up. So we're trying to, you know, we're over here doing this bit on the searches and doing this bit on inquiries, in the hope that, you know, the mortgage will sort itself out and come in. So you're just always juggling and spinning plates to get to the end goal. And then you know, within a bit, you're hoping and working together with the other lawyers involved and the other estate agents involved that all these transactions get to this exchange point at a very similar time. You then start discussing dates. And obviously every buyer, every seller has their own agenda with work commitments and holidays and schooling and just the logistics of, you know, I need a remover, I need to hire a van. You put all this stuff together, and then hopefully you get to a point where you agree a date, and nine times out of ten you do. And once you're at that point and all the money's in place, really, we can look to exchange.
Yeah. Hey? It's no secret why it's the second most stressful thing
people do
statistically in their life.
And I think the trouble is, you know, us guys as lawyers, we're doing a lot in the background that a client doesn't see. And I think that's where their stress comes from, is if you have a builder, you know, in for the day, they build a wall, you can see what they've done. Mm. So, and you know, that all makes sense to you. But all the client tends to get from us is, we don't really know when it is yet, you know, we just need this, we just need that, mm. or I've just heard this. But the trouble is, I think if you've got 6, 7, 8 transactions, or, you know, even 3 really, I don't have, or none of us guys have, overarching sight of everything. And without that, it's always hard to piece together where the chain is, yeah. isn't it? And therefore set a time scale. But, you know, we do it day in, day out. And you get used to knowing where a chain yeah. is, don't you? It's weird. You can just tell, you know, will it be this, you know, am I going to exchange this week? You know, realistically, more often than not, we know. And it, you know, it's not nice to say it's not going to be this week, or you know, it could be next week, or it may not even be next week. But I think the key to the job really is to be upfront and honest, you know, on both sides.
Yeah.
We want every for the client, we want, you know, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And from us, you know, if you can find a lawyer that will talk to you straight, talk to you direct, and be honest, you know, good news or bad news, that's a key, isn't it?
Yeah, just communication, I guess, yeah, being honest. And what does exchanging contracts mean?
Exchanging contracts is like what everyone shoots for. It's like the the moment. It's sort of the moment where the contract is...
where the stress sort of goes away.
Yeah, I say to the client, the way I explain it to the client is that the contract is timed and dated. So whatever completion date you've both agreed on, it gets penned on the contract and everybody's legally binding for that date. So no one can... people can change their mind, but there'll be a hefty sort of penalty. Not a fine, but penalty. Yeah. So if you're a buyer and you're buying a house for £200,000 and you have a 10% deposit, so you've got £20,000 on the contract, when you exchange contracts, you've locked that deposit in. So if you, for whatever reason, this rarely ever happens, say that you don't want to buy the house anymore, we would be saying to the client, you will lose your £20,000 because they will they'll serve a notice on you under this contract, and you will have X amount of days to complete the deal, and if you don't, then you'll lose that deposit. So exchange is not something that anybody does lightly, but it is sort of that moment where you know that you've got somebody in a contract now, so you've got some security as to the date that at least you're going for, yeah. And it's rarely ever a case that it doesn't complete on the date you've all agreed.
I just exchange is obviously legal commitment from everyone. 99% of the time, it happens on the day.
Yeah.
There's very, very rarely it doesn't. And you know, like Hannah said, if it doesn't happen, notice is served. Tend to have 10 working days. And then if you can't complete 10 working days after the agreed date, you're looking to, you know, obtain people's deposits, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 99% of the time, once exchange has happened and the completion date is set, it happens on that date. So then you can look to, you know, book removers, change your internet provider, change your postal address. And this, and that's the trouble. There's so much logistically to be done on the client side. That's where the stress comes from. So I say back in the day, you know, but I've been doing it 15 years. Even 15 years ago, used to have more time between exchange and completion. Mm. Now it tends to be a week, and that week timescale is set by, it takes a bank 5 working days to get mortgage advances to us guys. And in theory, you can set any date. I've exchanged contracts and had a completion date 9 months away in the past. But so it tends to be a week, but 15 years ago it was a month. Well, not a month, but a month was a lot more common, which allowed people to sort all this logistical stuff out. Because the trouble is, and it gets so stressful at the end, because you know you've got to sort all this out, and you've really got, my house is half packed up, I haven't exchanged, I don't know if I'm moving or not. You know, it's easy for me to sit there and say, if everyone agreed a month, it would be a lot less stressful and a lot easier, but you know, life is busy and everyone wants it done now. So that's just...
yeah, as soon as possible is usually 5 working days.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, without sounding too crude about it, every lawyer you speak to, you know, it's a business. Yeah. And, you know, there's no reason why we would want to delay a transaction, want to hold it up. It only gets more stressful if that happens. you know, the longer a transaction goes on, statistically, it's more likely that someone, you know, pulls out somewhere in the chain. Mm-hmm. So there is no benefit for us guys to delay a transaction in any way, shape or form. And, you know, the estate agent, us guys, you know, we all get paid once it's completed. And, you know, that's what we come in, you know, that's what we do it for, really. You know, and 15 years in and, you know, Hannah's 8 years, somewhere there. Ish. Yeah. It's still on a Friday afternoon, tends to be, just because of how workloads work within a bit. You're exchanging Friday afternoon, setting completion dates for the next week, and you're completing stuff on the, you know, that on the morning for that you've exchanged the week before. Like, it's still nice to do it, isn't it? It's still a nice call to say it's done, because you hear the relief in the client's in the client's voice, you know, and it's it's still nice to get it done. And ironically, some of the nicest calls to make are the transaction that's been, you know, within a bit of disaster and took 9 months and stressful, and, you know, you still get to that point and get that client where they want to go, and that's what we do it for.
And what is a completion date then?
So completion date's moving date in a nutshell. So on exchange, set completion date, as I said earlier, usually a week further in advance. But as I said, that date can be any date which will be agreed by all the people in the chain. But yeah, it tends to be a week. Doesn't even have to be a Friday. I'd say 70% of transactions are a Friday. Friday move. And the only reason it's a Friday move is because people like the weekend to get themselves in the house and settled once they've moved in. But yeah, any day, Monday to Friday, you can choose.
No weekends, unfortunately, as everyone always asks.
Yeah, everyone wants a Saturday. yeah, unfortunately, we don't come in on a Saturday, and you know, so it doesn't tend to happen. And obviously, you can't do it on bank holidays because we need the banks. But yeah, moving day in a nutshell is completion day. Completion day is moving day.
And what does a conveyancer do on the moving day? Is there anything that you guys do? Are you sort of finished with the process?
We wish. So I suppose it's like the culmination of everything coming together. So when we ask the client where their money's coming from, we need to have gotten that money in from them before the completion date. We would have ordered their mortgage funds for the completion date. So we sort of put all that money together, everything we need to pay for the property, and we send it over to the solicitors that are acting for, so say we're acting for a buyer, we'll send it to the seller's solicitors to pay for the property. And once they receive it, they call us and say, we've got your money, we've legally completed because you've paid for the property, and they then release the keys with the estate agents. So the estate agent will be there holding the keys, and they won't release them to the new owner until they know they are the new owner and they've completed on the transaction. So we'll do that. We need to send some documents over. So there'll be a transfer deed that a seller signs, which is what goes off to Land Registry to say, you can put the property in this new owner's name because I have transferred it to them on this day. We date that on the day of completion. So there's sort of, I wouldn't say more admin, but it is sort of crossing the T's and dotting the I's of the last things that we have to do to make sure that it's legally documented as having completed on that day.
Yeah, and I think in addition to sending the money to the other side, you know, we've got mortgages to redeem, we've got estate agents to pay, you know, we've got to do, obviously, you know, in theory, take our money and deal with that. And, you know, on any given Friday, Hannah could be moving 5 people. And she's also got, and she's also got another half a dozen people that are wanting to exchange for next week or 2 weeks' time. So, you know, you're always, you know, your phone's down from one, you're picking the phone up on the next one. And it's, you know, all of that. And I think all I would say in addition is the money starts at the bottom with the first-time buyer or, you know, whoever's buying the bottom transaction. They send it to the seller solicitor. Obviously, that seller can then be buying on. So they then send it up and so on and so forth. So if you've got 6 transactions, you know, you've got various bank transfers throughout the day. So again, million-dollar question, when am I getting the keys? On the day of completion, we don't really know. I would hazard it. What I tend to tell my clients, really, late morning, lunchtime is a guide. But obviously, if you're number 2 in the chain of transactions, you're going to get your keys a few hours before if you're number 6, 7, 8, or however many people there are. But yeah, as a guideline, somewhere around lunchtime, I sort of, if you're selling and buying, you tend to move out in the morning, in the afternoon. And it sounds really easy for us guys just sitting in the office.
When, yeah. I suppose from the client's point of view, what do they think we do on completion? Well, they're just waiting for our call to say when it's happened. And if you have a sale and a purchase, you usually call them up and you say, I've received the money on your sale, so I can now use that to buy your new property. Mm. So, you know, technically your buyer has purchased your property, but your purchase hasn't completed yet because the money has to go up the chain. So for them, they just wait to hear from us.
They're periodically homeless for an hour, they always worry about it, don't they?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to explain that, yeah, you've sold, but you haven't yet bought. But, you know.
But you're in a contract where if you give the money to the seller, they should move out.
Yeah.
So I think nationally
it happens about a million, you know, there's about a million transactions, 1.2 million transactions a year where this is happening.
Mm.
And like I said, 99% of the time it's fine. So don't worry that you're homeless for an hour. We will get you in the other end.
Yeah. I guess you get like a few people panicking about that just because, like, I guess they don't understand exactly, like, oh my God, we have an exchange and this or that and the other.
Yeah.
Or just exchange, but what's happening with the call and, like, yeah, and like the other people.
Mm. I think also if you're transaction number 5 in this chain of transactions, as I said earlier, we don't have complete oversight, so we can only speak to the lawyer that we're dealing with. So the lawyer acting for your buyer and the lawyer acting for the client seller. So if it's got to, you know, we'll call it midday, we haven't really heard anything. We don't expect to hear anything by midday because we know we're number 5 in the chain of transactions. Mm-hmm. But at this point, you know, we're asking you, getting updates from your buyer's lawyer of where, you know, what's going on. But they may not know because they're waiting for an update from the, you know, lawyer beneath them. So it's, you know, when I sit there and say, you know, communication is key, I think also, you know, when you're talking about choosing a solicitor and all of that, you know, choose a good local lawyer, mm-hmm. you know. I deal with the vast majority of transactions I do are the same lawyers, you know, in Ipswich and surrounding areas. Been doing it 15 years. I speak to them multiple times a week. Therefore, you have a rapport with them, mm-hmm. Which aids the transaction, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because you could, just because there's, you know, understanding and a working relationship there. So, you know, like I said, you would really hope that, you know, the ideal situation is that everyone is using, you know, local lawyers that, you know, do a good job and you know well and you can communicate well with, and that would lead to a smoother transaction.
Mm.
But yeah, when you sit there and you're talking about what we do, you know, it's just realistically, you know, literally hundreds of emails a day and, you know, I don't know, 50 calls. You know, we're constantly on the phone or emailing. Mm. In a nutshell, just moving some money around and getting some keys for people is what we try.
The money and key day, the nice day.
Very exciting, yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, guys. Great to have you on.
Yeah, no worries.
And for all you guys at home, if you did enjoy this episode, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And we'll see you next time.